David Hawkins is senior editor of CQ and Roll Call and author of Hawkins Here, blog and column. He knows more about Congress than almost anybody I know. Nope, than anybody I know. He has covered Congress in various positions at CQ since 1995. David Hawkins, welcome back. Let's talk about what's left on the legislative agenda this year.
You know, not very much, if anything, to be honest. The big accomplishment of the year was probably the belated budget deal enacted a couple of weeks ago, a $1.3 trillion spending plan that was actually for a budget year that was half over, right? This was for the budget year that began back in October. So it's now to spend $1.3 trillion overall in the budget year ending in September. This was a bipartisan thing, and it happened only because there was a bipartisan agreement to raise some pretty strict spending caps that Congress had been trying to live under for a couple of years. It infuriated the fiscal conservative Republicans. They're trying to talk about reopening this budget deal, but it's not going to happen. So what's left to happen? Not much. Immigration seems stuck. The Senate tried hard and got 39 votes for something the president could support. There's this infrastructure plan that the president highly touted is going nowhere. His own infrastructure advisor just announced that he was leaving the administration a couple of days ago. The election year is always a time when the window for legislating is small. And it seems to have already closed. Maybe, they will do another budget deal, a sort of running in place budget deal between now and the election, since they've agreed to raise these spending caps. You know, I think if they're smart, they'll just go ahead and not fall victim to the ridicule of kicking the can down the road and temporary spending bills and shutdown, showdown, histrionics, but just go ahead and keep this budget going this fall. To say that they did something before the election, but it probably won't happen.
Okay, let me talk to you about, very quickly, because I got so many things I want to talk to you about here, David, but the field of Democratic hopefuls for 2020, have you got your eye on anybody? It doesn't seem to me like there's a clear leader this time.
No, certainly not. It's going to be an incredibly wide open field, and of course, last time there were 17 Republicans running, and I think if you'd looked at all 17 of them at the start and picked the eventual winner, you could have made some serious money. So no, I think it's wide open. I think, of course, as somebody who pays attention to Congress, I'm the most interested in the members of Congress who are running, the two senators who I guess are getting the most attention, New Jersey's Cory Booker and California's Kamala Harris. But there are others who are thinking about running. Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota may well run. There are others. As somebody who pays attention to Congress, I'm not paying attention to as much to the people who many say where the Democrats should look, which is way outside of Congress. They should go for a mayor like Carchetti from California or Mitch Landrieu from New Orleans. Others are saying, business leaders. It's all over the place. The field will certainly winnow probably right after the election. Generally, the midterm election, the morning after the midterm election is when the presidential field starts to narrow.
Okay, so let's go to the Mueller investigation. Mueller has recently confused a lot of people because he says that the president is a subject, but not a target. What does that mean?
So I think I do know what that means. My first gig in journalism was covering the federal courthouse in Texas, so I think I understand what that means. And it has confused people, and it has got the president's allies saying he's off the hook. I think nothing could be further from the truth. When the Justice Department says you're the target of an investigation, that is a signal to you that they've already figured out a way to indict you, that they know they've got the evidence to show that you have committed a crime, and that you better watch out. Being a subject means they're paying close attention to your behavior, and they don't quite have you as a target yet, but that could be one statement away, one witness away, one document away, or one opening of your own mouth away. And I think that the fact that Mueller is, if this reporting is true, which we believe it's true, has told the president's lawyers he is a subject, means, you know, to make sure your client understands that his interest, his eagerness to talk to us, you know, could be a double-edged sword.
We know that because some of his lawyers, including Mr. Dowd and others who have left, have indicated you'd be a fool to sit down with the Mueller people because you clearly will end up saying something that, you know, will be fabricated, will be wrong, and then you'd perjure yourself.
Right. I mean, I think you know, it doesn't take lawyers or certainly not prosecutors to understand that about the president. Right. I mean, you can just there are hundreds too many to mention of times where the president just says things that just flat aren't true, and are either backwards or fabricated or, you know, totally contradicted by readily available facts. And so the thought that he would sit down with some of the most highly trained prosecutors in the world who have reams and reams of data and facts and other testimony already, you know, in their hip pocket, and that he could endure a grilling from these people without tripping himself up, I think is kind of almost hard to fathom.
Now, his numbers are going up a little bit, according to some polls. He's in the low 40s now, except for Rasmussen. And I've never trusted Rasmussen because I've always felt it's a little too Republican in terms of their orientation. But his numbers are going up a little bit. What do you make of that?
I don't know what I mean. You know, I mean, going from the mid 30s to the low 40s is not, you know, I guess the trend line is up, but he's got a long, long way to go. He's nowhere near 40, 46, which is where he was on Election Day, let alone 50, which is sort of the magic number if you're in politics. I don't know what to make of it, to be honest. I mean, you know, his recent behavior on trade and the retaliation that has happened from China. He's going to threaten those numbers. Thinking about, you know, what the stuff that China has put tariffs on, and a lot of agricultural products, a lot of stuff that is the quite literally the breadbasket of this country, the Great Plains, the Midwest, almost all of which are Trump states. Quite interesting to me that the Chinese have figured that out. Probably doesn't take too much skill. You know, the stock market it certainly isn't a Trump bump anymore. Whether it's a Trump slump that lasts enough to drag his numbers down, don't know. That nobody seems to be talking about the tax cut anymore. It seems to me the Republicans are not doing what I assumed that they would do, which is just spend the entire year crowing about what a wonderful tax cut it is that everybody's going to get. But that doesn't seem to be their marketing strategy. That marketing strategy, if it exists, has not permeated my brain. So because, I don't know.
Because the polls are showing, David, that the tax cut is not popular with people. They get it. They think it helped the rich and not so much them.
And didn't so much help them, right? So now, you know, that's what the polls show now. But if the Republicans had a good marketing strategy, I'll bet they could shift those numbers a little bit.
Well, great to talk to David Hawking, senior editor of CQ, Roll Call, and author of Hawking's Here, blog and column. He's covered Congress since 1995, and he is so good to come and talk to us. David, I can't thank you enough.
Thank you so much, Alan.